Glad to be in God's house. You can be turning the book of Acts, chapter number 27. Acts, chapter number 27. And we've been, like I said, excited about being here and excited about coming to sing and nervous about coming to preach. And I'll tell you why. I always get nervous when I come to preach, but there's two reasons I'm nervous. Number one, that is, I'm preaching for one of my heroes, your pastor. Love him, appreciate him. He's always been my friend. And I know a lot of preachers, but know a lot of pastors, but, you know, there's only just a handful that you can say, that's my friend. And I can say that about Brother Davey, and I appreciate that. Number two, the reason I'm absolutely nervous is y'all have heard the best preaching in the world this entire week. I mean, come on now. Literally, all my heroes have preached this week. And you've heard my pastor preach. You've heard Brother Brian McBride preach. Brother Joel. You've heard everybody preach. And so I'm hoping actually that kind of, I've talked to myself that that's going to work to my advantage is because maybe I'll say something that will remind you of something they preached this week. And that'll work to my advantage. But I'm just going to give you a quick thought this morning and give you what God's told me to preach. And it was a happy day, though. I will say this. It was a happy day when I realized that I wasn't Davey Shelton. I wasn't Kenny Kuykendall. I wasn't Brian McBride. That I was Jonathan Davis. And I figured out that I'm stuck with him. Like, you know, this is me. And I'm him, and you're stuck with him this morning, too. So you might as well smile about it. My wife's been doing it for going on 11 years now. And but we'll preach a little while, and then we'll let you go and rest in the afternoon. Very familiar passage of Scripture. We'll read verse number 13. The Bible says, "When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Eurocyclodon. When the ship was called and would not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat." Yes. Look at verse number 21. The Bible says, "But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them, saying, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. And there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. That is, that it shall be even as it was told me." Right. Verse number 26 says, "Howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island." Yep. And on the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. And fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. A few more verses. Look down to 39. Bible says, "And when it was day, they knew not the land. But they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible to thrust into the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands, hoist up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. Falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part of the ship was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped, that they escaped all safe to land." Let's pray. Yes. Lord, we love you this morning. God, we thank you for the reading of your word. God, thank you, Lord, for the context of the scripture. God, thank you, Lord, for every single man, woman, boy, or girl that walked through the doors this morning. God, I thank you for that decision that they made. God, I pray that you would touch for just these few moments, God, to say the words that need to be said. God, I pray that you would touch your people this morning. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. We find here in Acts chapter number 27, most of you know the story how Paul had been taken prisoner. He had been ordered by Agrippa and Festus to be taken to Rome. And upon his journey to Rome, the Bible says here that they had put him in a ship and began this journey. It was the quickest way, the best way to get him there. Yeah. But upon this journey, he ran into a storm. Yeah. Now, I don't know about you, but it seems to be a common theme among so many people in my own life and in the life of about every Christian that I meet. You know, before long, when you say, "Hey, how are you? How you doing?" And after we get past that, you know, Sunday morning Baptist facade that we all like to put on, if we were to really reveal this morning, I would say most of us, if not all of us, are dealing with some very intense storms.
Yes, sir.
Now here Paul is. He's a man of God. He is God's man. He's doing God's work. He's doing the right thing. He's doing everything he knows to do. And still yet he encounters storms.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. There's no way to escape them. There's no way to get away from them. In this life, you're going to encounter storms.
Yes.
Hey, contrary to what Joel Osteen says, good things are not always coming your way. There's some mornings you're going to wake up, your feet are going to hit beside the bed, and all of hell is going to attack you. Every storm cloud's going to blow your way. And you say, "Well, why in the world is that?" The Bible says that man is born of woman, is of a few days and full of trouble. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You're going to run into storms and problems and troubles. Here they are. They ran into a storm that was mean enough to name. You ever had a storm like that come into your life? You ever look back on some storms and go, "We ought to name that one something.
Yeah.
We ought to name it. That one was mean enough. It lasted a long time." This wasn't just any storm. This was a storm named Eurocyclodon. It was a well-known storm.
Yeah.
There's some well-known storms I know hit God's people.
Yeah.
A lot of storms. Hey, we hear the word. You know what word I hate and you hate, and we hear almost every week on a weekly basis? We hear cancer.
Yeah.
We hear death.
Yes,
discouragement. Let me tell you something. The spirit of discouragement and being discouraged in the work of God is a storm that almost every single one of us are going to face, and a storm that more people face than they want to admit.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something. You're not doing yourself or anybody else any favors acting like nothing bad ever happens in your life.
Right.
We're all going to encounter that storm. And as I looked at this and saw where Paul was being placed in the storm, I realized there was some things that they lost in the middle of the storm. First of all, they lost their calm.
Uh-huh.
I don't know about you, but I like smooth sailing.
Yeah.
I like smooth sailing. I love being on the water, but I only like it when it's calm.
Yeah.
I like for things just be slick and calm.
Me too.
About a year after Kelsey and I were married, she talked me into going on a cruise.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I was a little bit nervous about it. Wasn't real sure, but you know what? I was like, "Hey," you know, she said, "I've been on cruise before, nothing to worry about." I said, "Now, I'm not going to get sick, am I?" She said, "No, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it." You know what? We got on the boat and we were doing just fine. We really were. We were great. We were fine. It was about a 4-night cruise, I believe, and 3 nights, no problem.
Yeah.
But on that 4th night,
yes,
we're sitting there eating dinner.
Yeah.
We're sitting there and the captain comes over the loudspeakers. Comes over last week and he says, "Dear passengers, this is your captain speaking." And he said, "I hope you've enjoyed your journey thus far." And something about the way he said "thus far" made me put my fork down and go, "Wait a minute."
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, "I hope you've enjoyed your journey thus far." He said, "But between us and the port, there's a pretty large storm."
Uh-huh.
He said, "I've kept you out of it all week." He said, "But we've got to go right through the middle of this storm to get into your port, and just want to go ahead and prepare you. Tonight may be a little bit rougher than the other nights."
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Within an hour, that boat was rocking back and forth. I mean, there were people stumbling through the lobby, and not for the same reason they had been the rest of the week. This time it was not self-induced. This time that nobody could stand, and we go. And I remember laying in that bed and just wishing for the day, as the Bible says.
Yeah.
I remember saying, "Lord, you know, I mean, you know how you start making bargains with the Lord and start cutting deals and say, 'God, I promise you, Lord, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to serve you. I promise you I'll do this and I won't do that if you'll just make this storm stop.'"
Yeah.
I remember that night not even being able to sleep because the storm had took my calm. The Bible says here that the storm went on for days and days and days and days. Some of you tonight, this morning, you've been in storms that have been lasting for days and days. In fact, it's hard for you to remember a time when there wasn't this storm in your life. That's how long it's been going on. The storm will take your calm. The calm can be gone this morning in just a phone call. The calm can be gone in just 1 second on the road. All of a sudden, everything's fine. Everything's good. One doctor's visit, and the calm's gone.
You're right, preacher. You're right.
The storm can take your calm. Let me say, secondly, the storm took their control. The Bible says in verse number 15 that we let her drive. They could no longer control the ship. Say this, I'm a hands-on fix-it kind of person. If there's a problem, I want to do my best to try to fix it. And a lot of times, by me fixing it, I'll mess it up even more. But this storm that they were in, there was no skilled captain that could get them through this storm.
Exactly.
There was absolutely nothing they could do. The Bible says that finally they stood back and they just let her drive.
Yep.
Whatever happened was going to happen.
Yep.
I hate to lose that control.
Yes.
Anybody else like that in every situation,
yes,
everything in life? I don't like for things to be out of control.
Yep.
I don't like driving in the snow and the ice because I don't feel like I'm in control. I don't like roller coasters because I'm not in control. I'm the guy that goes to the theme park and I will ride a roller coaster only because I don't want you to make fun of me for not riding roller coasters, but I do not enjoy them. Not even a little bit.
Yeah.
I hate riding roller coasters, but if I don't, my wife makes fun of me and I can't have that. If you ever go to a theme park with me, if you ever go, say we go to Dollywood and we're going to jump on the Wild Eagle, whatever it is, you know where you'll find me? You'll find me closest. Now, I don't know if anybody else scopes this out, but I always make sure while I'm standing in line to figure out which side the stairs are on. Anybody else do that? When you get on a roller coaster, you know why? Because I feel like if something were to happen, there's a slight chance, just a slight chance that I can jump off and go running down those stairs and be like, well, wasn't God's will. just wasn't God's will to take this roller coaster. Do you know what my least favorite part of that roller coaster is? When you finally get done clicking to the top, you're gonna die. And you get to the top, and you're right there, and all of a sudden, it's what I call the point of no return. Whether you like it, lump it, bump it, or jump it, we're going down. You're about to hit that hill, and you can scream, you can cry, you can laugh. Whatever you're gonna do, there's no turning back. That's when you lose control. That's exactly where they were in this storm.
Yes, sir, preacher.
They were past the point of thinking that maybe they were going to control it. Maybe they were going to do it. Some of you this morning, you've called every banker. You've been to every doctor. Hey, you've even talked to your preacher. You've talked to the visiting preacher. You've asked your friends on Facebook. Hey, you've told everybody and asked everybody that you could to get some control of your situation. But God's let it get to a point where you've lost your control. Not only did they lose their calm and their control, but they lost their cargo.
Yes, sir.
Verses number 18 and 19, the Bible says that they had to lighten up the ship. They took it, they started throwing it overboard.
That's right.
They lost some of their cargo. Some of you here this morning, the storms cost you some things.
Yep.
Some of you have lost your cargo. Some of you have lost things financially. Some things have lost physically. Some of the things in your life you've lost because of the storm. Let me say, there's some things that God wants us to get rid of in the middle of the storm.
Sure.
Sometimes if it were not for the storm, that was going to be the very thing that was going to drag you down, is the thing that you needed to throw overboard.
Good.
I know there's been times in my life where I felt like if I didn't get rid of something, that it was going to be the thing that brought me down, but I didn't want to let go of it. I wanted to hang on to it, but God sent a storm in my life to make me realize it was either get rid of it or sink myself. Some of you this morning, you may be in the middle of that storm. You're in the middle of the storm and God's saying, hey, let go of what you got. Let go of your cargo. It's not worth sinking over. It's not worth destroying your family over. It's not worth destroying your life. Let go of your cargo.
Amen.
It was the only way that they were going to survive. Not only did they lose their calm and control in their cargo, but I believe worst of all, they lost their confidence. They lost their confidence. In verse number 20, some of the saddest words you read says, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away.
Mercy.
So here the storm is. They've lost their calm and control. They've lost their cargo, but they've lost their confidence.
Yes, sir.
There was a little bit of hope that everything was going to be okay. The Bible says it had gotten to the place after many days. The storm lasted over 2 weeks and all hope was gone that they should be saved.
Amen.
I believe with all my heart, I'm talking to somebody this morning, that you're coming in, you've sat down on a church pew this morning. Hey, you may look good, you may be smiling, you may have sung in the choir. Hey, you may have sat through Jubilee and smiled the whole time and act like you enjoy it. But deep down in your heart tonight, this morning, you feel like all hope is gone. You feel like you've prayed every prayer you can pray. You feel like you've read every chapter you can read.
Yeah.
You've been to every service. You've listened to every song. You've cried out to God so many times. But deep down inside, you feel like you've lost the confidence that God's ever going to answer your prayer. The storm's ever going to go. So you've lost your calm and your control and the confidence in your cargo. But I want to give you some hope this morning. Because I want to preach for just a few minutes and I'll be done. On some things that the tempest couldn't take.
Amen.
Now we know He took you calm. We know He took control. We know that the tempest has taken your cargo and your confidence. But just real quickly, I want to name four things that the tempest couldn't take. Number one, the tempest couldn't take the presence of God.
Amen.
Look in verse number 23. Paul stands up and he says, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." In the midst of their storm, even when they didn't feel like it, even when everybody else didn't know it, the Bible says that Paul stands up after many days and he says, "Sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God." He said, even in the midst of the storm, there stood by me this night the Spirit of God. And I'm thankful tonight that no matter what spirit you're in, hey, no matter what storm you're facing, even though you don't feel Him, even though you don't see Him, the tempest can't take the presence of God this morning. Let me tell you something. Even though you've cracked open your Bible and you've read a chapter and didn't see anything new, the Spirit of God was still there.
Right.
Even though every single time that you get on your knees and you call out to Him and you say, "I don't feel anything." Let me tell you something. He's not always a feeling, but He's always present this morning.
What?
Just because you keep coming to church, maybe nothing the preacher says touches your heart, maybe nothing that anybody sings pierces in, that does not take the presence of God this morning. He's always there.
Yes, sir.
No matter what. Whether you feel Him, whether you know it. Hey, there's been times when I've gotten so mad and bitter at storms in my life that I didn't even want the presence of God. I just wanted to be left alone. Say, "God, just let me handle it myself." But even still yet, in the midst of the storm, it could not take the presence of God. I'll tell you what, this morning, if you're here, you've lost all confidence, just trust me this morning. Trust your pastor. More better than that, trust the Word of God. The Bible says that He'll never leave you and He'll never forsake you. Brian McBride told me years ago, said, "Never doubt in the dark what God showed you in the light." And I promise you, if there's ever been a time He's been in your life, He's in your life this morning. Let me tell you something. Some of you, you're probably in the storm of doubting your salvation. You're questioning God, saying, "God, here I am, and my heart feels this, my mind thinks that, and I'm confused about this over here." Let me tell you something. If there's ever been a time that God's touched your heart and touched your life and brought you to Him, just because you don't feel Him this morning, don't mean He's disappeared.
Right.
He's still God this morning. Someone I love was doubting their salvation and the devil had crept in their mind and the devil had told them, "Well, you didn't do this right and you didn't do that right." First of all, let me say this. Salvation is not something you did.
Amen.
Salvation is not even something you can mess up. Hey, man, let me tell you something. God, the Bible says that salvation is of the Lord. It's His this morning. And I'll tell you something else. I don't know why I'm off on this, but I'll tell you something else. God don't let people go to hell that don't want to go to hell. If there's ever been a time in your heart when you knew you were a sinner, you confessed your sin and said, "God, I'm a sinner. God, You're the Savior." Let me tell you what He did this morning. He saved your soul. And all the devils of hell and all the doubt in this world and everything that the devil will throw at you can't take it away from you. You say, "I don't feel saved this morning." Let me tell you something. There's a lot of mornings this preacher wakes up and I don't feel saved. There's a lot of nights I go to sleep and I don't feel saved. But it doesn't take one drop of blood away from the soul that God saved. And I'm thankful for that. No matter where you're at this morning, whatever storm it is, whatever the world's thrown at you, hey, whether you've lost your job, whether you just lost your parents, whether you just lost a child, whatever it is that the devil's thrown at you in this world has come into your life, it does not take the presence of God. In the midst of the night, the tempest couldn't take the presence of God. Let me say quickly, second of all, the tempest couldn't take the provisions from God. Verse number 34 through 36, you can read it. Paul stands up and he says, hey, he says, look, men, you got to be a good cheer. I want you to take food and I want you to eat.
Yeah.
I want you to eat. He said, because we're in the midst of this storm, but I've got good news. He said, not a single hair on your head is going to be removed. He said, we're going to make it through this storm. He said, I need you to eat. I need you to take the things. You realize this ship wasn't the first ship that they started on? In the midst of the first storm, the little storm before you're a cyclone, they switched ships. And the Bible says they switched over to a wheat ship. You know why? Because God had already prepared them for the storm that was coming. Let me tell you something. You being a member here at Gateway Baptist Church is not an accident.
Right.
God's man in your life preaching to you, all those sermon notes that you've made, all those things and the times that touched your heart, every time that you stood in the choir and sang and tears rolled down your face, that was not an accident. You know what that was? That was God providing provisions for you so in the dry times you can look back and know that He'll provide again. Let me tell you something. You may feel empty. You may feel like all your cargo is gone, but I promise you, you've still got something.
Yes.
Hey, what God has done for you. Hey, Kelsey and I, we've said the past couple of weeks and praise God and thank God for what He's done in our life. And at times we've doubted that God was going to do it. But you know what we can do? We can look back to the last 10 years and know that the next 10 years, God's going to provide. God's going to be faithful. God's going to be a God no matter what, no matter how I feel. The tempest can't take the provisions of God.
Amen.
The storm can't take the presence of God. Can't take the provisions of God. Don't neglect those provisions. The things that God's always taught you, the things God's always done for you, don't start doubting those just because the storm came. You think, well, I'll tell you what, I bet my life would be better if I just find me another church. If I could just find me some more people. Let me tell you, the problem with finding another church is if you join it, you'll be a part of it. And the church ain't your problem.
That's right.
You know who my biggest problem is? Me. You know who gives me the most trouble? I do.
You're preaching right, preacher.
And so many times we look for a solution somewhere else.
Yeah.
We go and we say, well, if this was different in my life, if I had a different this or a different that, or maybe if this circumstance was different, hey, it's time that we own up to the fact that this is our life, this is what God gave us, and you might as well just buckle down and serve Him and live Him and love Him. Because God's given every single one of us the provisions that we need. Spiritually, physically, financial. We have what God's given us. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. It's all given from Him.
Yes.
And some storm's not going to take that from you.
You're
some storm that comes into your life is not going to take what God's given you, what God's done for you. The tempest couldn't take the presence of God, the provisions of God. Let me say thirdly, the tempest couldn't take the pieces from God. In verse number 43 and 44, the Bible says here, and the rest, some on board and some on broken pieces of that ship.
Yep.
And it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land.
Yep.
You may be here this morning and you say, everything's gone. No, this morning, the presence of God is still there.
Yep.
The provisions of God. Yep. And dare I say this morning that some of us are still left with the pieces from God.
Yep.
Now, some of you this morning, the storm's been rough. The storm's been hard on you. The storm's taken things from you. You say, I've got nothing left. My life is in pieces.
Yep.
Do you realize what good news it is this morning that you've still got some pieces?
Amen.
We sit around and we cry And we get mad at God because our life has been torn into pieces. I've been there myself. I thought, God, I've got nothing left but just the pieces of what I was, the pieces of who I thought I was going to be. And God says, I've got good news. I can use the pieces to get you to the other side. Some of you this morning, you're sitting here on the pew and you've been through a broken marriage. And I wish nobody had to do that, but it happens sometimes. And I realize that in this world that we live in, you say, my home is in pieces. Let me tell you what you do. You grab the pieces and you get to the other side. You get to land. Some of you have lost houses, lost vehicles. Some of you lost family members. Some of you have lost your dream that you worked for your whole life. Some of you lost what you thought you were going to do, even in the service of God. You say, I got nothing left but pieces. The good news is this morning, God can take the pieces and He can get you safe to land. It may not be as fancy as showing up in the cruise ship. It wasn't as fancy. They didn't roll into port with the bells ringing and the band playing, but the Bible says they still got to the other side. Let me tell you something, when we get to heaven, it ain't going to matter how we showed up. The only thing that matters is that we got there. I'm thankful this morning. We're all going to show up just holding on to pieces. Hey, the Bible says here that those that could swim had to go and swim. If it was up to me to swim, I'm in bad shape. I'm the worst swimmer that has ever swum, or however you say it. Literally, I learned to swim at a youth camp when I was 13 years old because some teenage boys took me by the seat of my swimming trunks and threw me in the water. That's how I learned to swim. And I have not improved at all upon that. That's still what I do, is fight for survival. So, Brother Tim, if I would have been on this ship, and Paul looks at me and he says, well, those that can swim are just going to have to swim. But if you're a little handicapped and need something, if you need a piece of something, you need to get over here and start grabbing something. You know which line I would have been in? Over here grabbing something. And when it comes to life, there may be some people that are strong enough to survive the storm. They can swim to the other side. But I've got no problem admitting to you this morning that I'm a weak Christian. I'm a weak person this morning, and I'll tell you what I have to do. I have to go and I have to grab just the pieces that are left from what God's done in my life previously, and ride to the other side. It may not be as fancy as swimming is, but I'll get to the other side just like you will. And everything will be just fine. Not a hair on my head's going to be moved, just like it won't out yours. It doesn't matter if you get there by ship or by swimming or by the shreds of the pieces. You're going to get to the other side. The storm can't take it from you. Let me say, last of all, storm couldn't take the presence of God. The storm couldn't take the provisions of God or the pieces from God. Let me say this and I'm done. The storm couldn't take the purpose of God. Now, I said all that to say this. The very verse that got my attention in all of this, and there's enough preaching in here to last for a week. Look again at verse number 26. The Bible says, howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Here Paul is in the midst of preaching to these men. He stands up and he tells them, be of good cheer. I've talked to the Lord. Everything's going to be okay. We're going to get to the other side. And then all of a sudden, God takes one single verse and he says, and he has Paul to say, howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Right. He didn't say that we might be cast. It looks like we're going to be cast on a certain island. Yeah. No, Brother Tim, he used the words, howbeit, we must be cast on an island. Do you know what was waiting on that island? Yeah. The Bible says a lot of things happened there. Yes, but I'll tell you what I'm interested in, and you can read it later this evening when you get home. But in the next chapter, the Bible talks about a man named Publius. And the Bible says that he took in Paul and all of the men that were with him, and he was good to them and he helped them. But the Bible mentions something else about Publius in the next chapter. The Bible mentions that his father was sick of a bloody flux, and that Publius was a good man. He was a good man and he was good to God's man. And I imagine now, just use your imagination with me, but I believe the Bible permits this. I believe that maybe Publius, Brother Davy, one day was praying, or he was walking, he was taking care of his father.
Yeah.
He said, God, I know you're God and I love you, Lord, and I understand my father's sick. God, I don't know what to do. I feel like that he's sick, and if you don't heal him, he's going to die, but I don't have any power to do that.
Yeah.
I imagine that Publius maybe one day said, God, could you just send somebody by? Could you just send somebody by could heal my daddy? The Bible says that in the midst of the storm, that here Paul is, and God speaks to him, and he says, Paul, I want you to know you're not in this storm because of something you did. You're not in this storm because I'm mean to you. He said, Paul, I want you to know the reason you're in this storm is because you must be put to a certain island, and that's the only way I could get you there.
Amen.
Let me tell you something that some of you, it's going to blow your mind. Your storm is not always about you. The storm that Paul encountered in this chapter, I believe with all my heart, wasn't for Paul, wasn't for the men on the boat, wasn't for those around him. God put Paul in a storm so that he must be cast upon a certain island so that he could answer a prayer and heal this man's father. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that God can take the storms of our life and touch somebody else's life.
Amen.
How many times have we been in the middle of the storm? We cried out, God, what did I do to deserve this? God, why me? Why me, Lord? But how about this morning, instead of crying out and saying, why, Lord, would you do this to me? How about if we cried out and say, Lord, who can I help? Who can this storm help besides me? The only way that God was going to get Paul to this island was to put him in a storm.
Amen.
Some of you this morning, you've prayed and asked God to use your life. You said, Lord, take my life and do with it whatever you want. Do you mean that this morning? Because sometimes that means that we're going to have to go through a storm in order to help somebody else. There's been times in my life when troubles have come, specific problems. And you know who I wanted to talk to, Brother Davey? I wanted to talk to somebody that had been there.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Got a lot of good friends that I can call for advice.
Yes, sir.
Say, hey, got this situation. How would you handle that? But a lot of times, we're just saying how we would do it. But you know what will touch your heart more than anything? You know where I want to go when I've got a problem? I want to go to somebody that's been there.
Yeah.
Let me say this morning, I don't understand why cancer comes. I don't understand why babies pass away. I don't understand why church trouble happens. I don't understand why family trouble happens. I don't understand all the things that are going on in the world. But it could be this morning that God is using your storm in order to get you in a place where you're going to help somebody else.
Amen.
The storm's not always about you. The storm can't take the presence of God. The tempest can't take the provisions of God, can't take the pieces from God.
Yeah.
But I'm glad most of all this morning that the storm can't take the purpose of God. You may be here this morning in a storm like you've never been in, facing something you never thought you'd have to face, and it's been going on for weeks, months, days, maybe even years.
Yeah.
It could be God's preparing you to take you to a place to use you personally to touch somebody else's life.
Amen, brother.
And if I can go through a storm in order to make me more like Christ and to help a brother or sister in Christ and to help God to accomplish His promise, is that not what we're here to serve Him for? To bring honor and glory, point others towards Him, even if it's our brothers and sisters in Christ. I want you to know this morning, be of good courage.
Yes.
Be encouraged.
Oh, yeah, preacher.
Because the tempest can't take the presence of God. The tempest can't take the provisions from God. It can't take the pieces. You've still got your pieces this morning. Just grab them and ride on to shore. Because God's got a purpose for you waiting on the other side. God's got a purpose. The purpose was stronger than it had ever been. Somebody's praying for you to come, and God's using the storm in your life to get you there. Just submit to His will. enjoy His presence and His provisions. Grab onto the pieces this morning. Serve God. Love God.
Amen.
He'll bring you to the other side. And His purpose for you will be stronger
right.
than it's ever been. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to ask my wife to come to the piano.
Amen.
And sing a verse of invitation this morning. I don't know who you are, but I promise you, last night, sitting in a hotel room, God had laid this message on my heart, and I didn't see any faces or anything like that, but God just said there's going to be somebody there tomorrow morning, and they're facing a storm. They've been in it a long time. Life falling apart, everything around them. And God told me to tell you that He's still there.
Yes.
His provisions are still there. The pieces that you still have are there this morning, and God's purpose for your life is stronger than it's ever been. We're all going to face the storms.
Yes.
We're all going to have the troubles. But I promise you this morning, God's just as real as He's always been. The provisions He's given for your life are more than they've ever been. The pieces, grab onto them. Grab onto the pieces. Get to the other side, and on that side, you will find the purpose that God has for your life. As we stand across the building with our heads bowed and eyes closed, as Kelsey begins to sing, storm's not going to last forever this morning.